This is the Hoboken Grace Podcast. Whether you're in the car or enjoying a walk, we hope you're having a great day. Just like every weekly conversation, we hope today's message deepens your relationship with God and builds into your life in a helpful way. For access to our full podcast library, visit hobokengrace.com or our app.
All right, there we are. Excellent. My name is Anthony. For those of you who don't know me, I'm the care pastor here. And today we are wrapping up this series that we've been calling True Story. And before we go any further, in the app as well are also the notes and the verses that we'll be going through today. I know sometimes it's hard to keep up on the screen, so I want to make sure that you know that if you go under Sunday, and you'll see that there's also the notes for today. But like I said, we are in the end. We're wrapping up this series called True Story. And you know, if you haven't been with us for the past few weeks, I highly recommend going back and listening, because we've been exploring this truth that you know, that each of us have a story to tell, and you know, we play a significant role in God's story. All of our stories really are an extension of God's story, and we are called to be witnesses to those that God puts in our path. And you know, we've talked about characters in the story, right? We visited who were the heroes and the villains in our story. The hero is always God, no matter which way you look at it or tell it. And the villains are made up of both the enemy and ourselves. And so we've talked a lot of truths, and I hope you've been encouraged, but I've also hoped that you've been motivated to share your story. And from the very beginning, we've been set up on the fourth floor to record your story. So even today is no difference. If you have been feeling that nudge to share your story, you could actually go right now to the elevator. They'll take you onto the floor, up to the fourth floor. Well, they'll have a team there to be able to guide you, to help you to share your story. But it's more than just sharing your story on video. Yes, we'd love for you to share your story on video, because you know, it has the potential to reach so many people. But even more importantly, probably, is that we want you to be equipped to be able to share your story with the people around you. I mean, personally, I want so badly for you to begin to tell your story. You know, as a care pastor, I have the privilege to sit with many of you and hear your stories. The stories of how God is working and moving in your lives. And then I get a little sad because I'm the only one who gets to hear it. And I understand that people like to open up to me. I have this like teddy bear thing going on. I get that. But I sit in this meeting with you constantly, and I tell you all the time, I say, man, you've got to share that story. Why? Well, because by hearing your story, my faith just got strengthened. And so imagine what it could do for somebody who might be teetering on the edge. And so to wrap up today, there's something else we need to talk about in terms of all of our stories. You know, in week one, we kind of introduced that all stories are made up of the same basic ingredients, right? They have a hero, they have a villain or villains, as we've learned, and there's a resolution. Right, a hero, a villain, and there's a resolution. So we've spent a couple weeks, we looked at the hero, we looked at the villains, and now is the time to see, okay, how does this all come together in what this thing called the resolution is all about? Now, the word resolution actually means many things. Really, the dictionary has about a dozen meanings for this one word. My heart goes out to those of you who are learning English, because I only speak English and I still can't figure it out. But as we've been talking about today in terms of this word story, a good way to define resolution is this. The resolution is the final act of a story where the climax occurs and the conflict is resolved. It's also where everything gets tied up and all the loose ends and the unanswered questions are dealt with. In short, it's the end of the story. You know, the resolution is often seen as sometimes the most essential part of the story, where we see how everything turns out at the end. And sometimes it's the most memorable part of the story. Sometimes it's the one that we remember the most. I mean, think about your favorite movies and those surprise endings that they threw at us, right? They sit with us. They stick with us. We look forward to them. We look forward to the resolutions that are in them. And every story has a resolution, including yours. In fact, you're experiencing these resolutions all the time. God, as the author of your story, is bringing about resolutions to different parts of your story. I shared last week how I struggled with marijuana. Well, God has brought resolution to that part of my story. I was able to get the help I needed, and through his grace, he was able to bring about a resolution, and in turn, he's used me to help others find a resolution in that area of life as well. This part of my story has found a resolution. God restored it, but I still need to tell it. I'm not hiding it. You know, for years, my wife and I prayed to have a child. My wife and I were married in 2012. We didn't have our first child until 2019, and so there's a period there where we wrestled with God and we took various tests and procedures, and we cried and we prayed, and we didn't know what the resolution to that part of our story was going to be. We knew that it was in our hearts to be parents, but we didn't know how God was going to bring about the resolution. Now, as you see my wife leading worship today, we realized that we could have our second baby at any point. So that's right, thank you. I think the big applause goes to my wife leading worship and the fact that she's made it through all three services and no baby yet. So there are resolutions that God has brought into your life already, right? There's things, if you think about in terms of addiction or health issues or pain or struggles that God has brought you through, you are living on the other side of the resolution. And these stories are just as important as God continues to write your story. Now, some of us, though, we find ourselves in the middle of the story, in the middle of the chapter that we're working out with God. And if we're honest, we don't quite know what the resolution is going to be. It's hard for us to see the resolution. It's hard for us to believe there will be a resolution. And not only that, is this going to be a resolution that I even want to tell someday? I've shared with you that back in March of 2021, I got the phone call that I was diagnosed with a certain type of cancer. And so for the next 2 years, as we went through treatment and everything, I was meeting with my counselor like all the time, because I was having a really hard time with this, and I was wrestling with it, and maybe it's the pastor in me, or maybe it's the storyteller in me, but I was really trying, and I kept asking this in these sessions, like I'm trying to figure out, maybe God is trying to teach me this, or maybe I'm trying to learn this, or maybe God is trying to bring about this in my life. And finally my counselor just looked at me and he said something I'll never forget. He says, Anthony, sometimes you just need to live the story with God and stop worrying about what the ending is going to be. And I started to have to take that to heart, because if we're honest in life, we live in the middle of so many painful things as part of our story. We don't know what the resolution is going to be, and if you look at the world right now, there's so much turmoil everywhere we look, and the world has so much ugly, so much sadness, so much pain, and people around us are struggling. You are struggling. You are grieving. You're aching. It's hard sometimes to believe that amidst the struggles, amidst this turmoil, amidst this pain, that God is going to bring any sort of resolution to this. But God has promised to bring resolution. God is a God of reconciliation, of resolution, of redemption. God has promised an incredible and memorable resolution to all of this, to all that's going on. Revelation 21, 3 through 5 says it this way, and I heard in a loud voice. Revelation is a book of things to come, right? And so it says, and I heard in a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. So not only is this a glorious resolution, the things that we have to look forward to, but God also makes a resolution himself. In verse 5, he says, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. There's going to be a time when there's no death, there's no tears, where we get to be with him. There's no pain, there's no sorrow. If we walk into this relationship with Jesus, there is a glorious resolution that we have to look forward to, but we aren't there yet. And just like you, the story isn't over. Wherever you find yourself right now, you have to realize that. You have to realize that your story isn't over. Say that right now. My story isn't over. 1, 2, 3. My story isn't over. Excellent work. I mean, it was okay. It was like a B+, but all right. If you're here right now, you're watching this online, you're listening to this, your story isn't over. And yes, there are things we cannot see. There are things that we cannot see, but there are things that he's promised us. Like I said, God is in the business of resolutions. He's in the business of reconciliation and redemption. If we think about what that verse in Revelation just said, Paul also puts it this way, right up next to it, if you see in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 17 through 21. Paul says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. What Paul is trying to get us to understand is something about our story inside of God's story. Paul wants us to remind those of us who've walked into this relationship with Jesus that it doesn't matter where you come from. If you've said yes to Christ, you are a new creation. And like I said, putting this up against that Revelation passage, right, in which God says, look, I'm making everything new. That text is that he's doing that for you right now. That statement, I'm making everything new, is in the present tense. That means God's work of renewal and redemption has already begun in this, our present time. You're not just forgiven when you say yes to Jesus, but you are a new creation. The creator of the story has created a new creation in his story. And this doesn't mean that we're perfect. This doesn't mean that we have it all together. It means that we're changed and that we are being changed. What Paul is saying to the church in Corinth is that they are living as a new creation and God is working in us. He's continuing that work in us. He's constantly bringing that ministry of reconciliation, as it says in 2 Corinthians, into our lives. Now, you may have found it interesting that we're in the middle of a story series. We've been showing stories for the last 3 weeks at the beginning of every service. And you thought, well, Anthony, won't we get a story today? Well, yes, you do. But we wanted to show you a story of someone in our church family that I think has just told the story of how God is working in her life in such a beautiful way. Now, I do have to preface this, that this story does contain some more mature themes and some PG-13 elements. There's also some things that she says that might be triggering to some, so I give you that right now if you'd like to take a time out to go ahead and do that right now. But what a powerful story we're about to hear of how God worked in someone's life, and so it's my pleasure to be able to introduce you to Abby.
My name is Abby Asante. I've been coming to the church for about 2 years now. I'm originally from Alabama. I'm one of 5 siblings, and my mom, for the most part of our childhood, was a single mom just raising the 5 of us. I didn't really feel like I got serious about my faith until my mom introduced us to this man who became our stepdad. He introduced me to the Bible, and I just started reading it from front to back, and I instantly fell in love. And things, you know, for some time were going really good, and my home life was great, but then I just feel like my mother, she just began to just constantly argue with my stepdad a lot. And so it just became this really toxic home environment for me. Just wanted to like escape from all of that. And I started, you know, just hanging out with friends that always didn't have like the best idea of fun in mind. One night that just changed my life forever is when I just decided that I would go to this club with some friends that I hadn't hung out with in a really long time. And that night my drink ended up getting roofied, and I woke up in an emergency room with like my mom standing over me, and come to find out I had been raped. And it was just something that I had never thought could happen to me. Like, I just felt so full of shame. And I had just convinced myself that this is the life that I deserve. Like, my life is tainted. Like, I deserve things from the bottom of the shelf because I am no longer pure. So later on, I ended up working at this bar. I was introduced to just this drug. It almost made me feel as if I was invincible. And so I got hooked instantly. And like, I did everything in my power to try and buy this drug and like find it on the streets. Just really felt as if like my life were going nowhere. I just kind of like indulged in this life of sin. I would just go out and party all the time. I lived this like very promiscuous lifestyle. I got introduced to porn and started watching porn heavily. It wasn't until like I started abusing the pills, I found myself abusing the pills all the time. There was this one time where it was just 2 weeks until I could get a prescription fill. And I just started to freak out because this drug was like my everything. In those 2 weeks, like, I just felt like I became a human again. I was like, I'm experiencing like all of these human emotions because I felt like the drugs, they made me so robotic. And like, to feel anger, to feel joy, to feel happiness, to feel sorrow, I just thought it was like completely incredible. And you know, I was like, okay, I think, you know, I want to be a sober person. I just realized that the years that I was taking that pill, like, I just relied on it so heavily. So I was basically like struggling just so much just to do life every day, to just sit across from somebody and have a conversation. It just became extremely hard for me. And I got this terrible anxiety that would just shake me every single day. And the anxiety got so bad. It got so bad to the point where I felt like I needed to take my own life. It just felt really hard to just be me. And the night that I was contemplating it, and the night that I decide like, okay, this is what I'm gonna do. We had this new roommate at the time come into the living room, and I think he just saw my face, and he decided to sit with me for like 6 hours that night just to make sure that I was okay. I just thought, if this person is just so willing to just sit with me all night to make sure I'm okay, and he's basically a stranger, like, then I know it would hurt others if I were to take my life. So from that point on, I was like, I have to make a change. Like, I have to do something to try and fix things. I just realized, like, as you know, seasons changed, the Lord kept showing me that, like, my reliance is in Him and it's not in a drug. He just kept showing me, like, you don't need this. I can do all of these incredible things for you that are going to make you so much better than any way that you were when you were on these pills. And so I had to keep trusting that He was going to continue the good work that He had started in me. The first time I attended, wasn't really sure about Hoboken Grace. And I remember I was invited to a ladies' night at Pier 13. And I remember as soon as I got there, like, I didn't know anybody, but everybody started talking to me. And I just thought, this is so incredible. Like, these women don't know me. Like, they're not standoffish. Like, people are just so willing to get to know me. This is really cool. I was like, this is my church. I like began serving on the ushers and greeters team. I got connected with this woman named Emma Self. She just kind of got me back on track with my life. It just so felt so awesome to just come to church every single Sunday and feel so embraced by others and so just surrounded by love and surrounded by people who genuinely care and who genuinely, like, wanted to, like, see you come into, like, connection events and just be around to experience life with each other. I come here and then the Lord is just showing me how He can bless me through others. And that's what I've felt ever since I've attended. There are times that I feel like I fail or I, you know, fall down out of this church or, like, I'm really awkward or, like, just anything that would probably deter me from coming back, the Lord just keeps showing me, like, no, you belong here. Like, I placed you here for a reason. This is where you're growing. This is where you're, like, this is where you're just being just loved. And yeah, this is my family.
Thank you, Abby, for sharing your story, for sharing God's story. I mean, the story that God is telling in Abby's life is just completely indicative of what we've been talking about today. This idea that God loves to work through people. I mean, as Abby said, she got introduced to somebody named Emma who helped to figure out her story and bring that into resolution, and how now even God is using her story in the lives of others. And as believers, I think we've got to remind each other that our story isn't over. And yes, some of our stories have some really difficult and hard things that are in them. But what a beautiful, beautiful story of reconciliation and redemption and resolution that God continues to tell in Abby's story. Her story isn't over, and neither is yours. And hopefully as you continue to see these stories of people just like you and people just like me, those of us who've walked into this relationship with Christ, we need to understand that this is an invitation for you to tell your story as well. There's another definition to this word resolution that I alluded to earlier. When God actually makes a resolution in Revelation 21, that definition of resolution is this: a resolution is a firm decision to do or to not do something, right? Typically, we call this our New Year's resolution, right? Well, I know it's not New Year's, but it is August. Summer's winding down. A new school year is upon us. The weather's changing. Pumpkin spice is already out. So we're very excited about that. Why not resolve to make a new resolution? Why not resolve to tell your story? Because if there's anything that we've learned, God has resolved to do all these things in your life. Why not resolve to tell others about it? Again, it's not just about doing it on video. But even as she said it, but to someone that God has placed in your path, someone, hopefully, as you've been in this journey with us for the last few weeks, maybe God has placed someone on your heart and in your life, God is doing incredible things. He's telling incredible stories, but even as I say that, I know that that phrase is a little inaccurate. No, God is doing incredible things and God's done incredible things in your life. But the reason I say that that phrase is inaccurate is because a story isn't actually a story until it's been told. And apparently it's Definition Sunday here at Hoboken Grace. So here's another one. Story. The actual definition of story is this: a narrative, either true or fictitious, in prose or verse, designed to interest, amuse, or instruct the hearer or reader. A tale. So until it's actually told, it's not a story. It's just something that's happened to you. And so today, the final step is to resolve to tell your story. You know who the hero is. You know who the villains are. And now it's time to resolve to tell your story. To step into the lives of your roommates, of your coworkers, of your neighbors, of your families. And begin to tell your story. And listen, I know some people, you know, I met with so many people, and I tell them, man, you got to tell that story. And they're like, I don't know. I'm not much of a talker. I just kind of want to let my life speak for myself. And you know, I understand where that line comes from. I do. I understand what drives that line. I understand what motivates it. We all know that there has been far too much talk and little less action when it comes to the church, right? Historically, in telling others about Jesus, there have been far too many who have been willing to talk about him than rather than backing it up. And I understand there's hesitancy there. That you don't want people to think, you know, well, I'm just talking about Jesus and my life doesn't reflect that. And listen, if you're here today and you're not quite sure how you feel about God or you've been hurt by the church or you've grown up and something happened to you that have made you distrust God or not believe in God, or maybe you don't want to have anything to do with God, or maybe you have nothing to do with the church, here's my invitation to you. I want to hear your story too. I do. I do. I'd love to buy you coffee. I'd love to take you out for a pumpkin spice latte if that's your thing. And I'd love to hear your story of why you don't believe, of why you find it hard to trust, why you don't want anything to do with God, or why you don't want anything to do with the church. It would be a privilege for me to be able to hear that story from you. But for those of us who've walked into this relationship with Jesus, those of us who have said yes to him, there is a flaw to that statement of I'm not much of a talker and I'm just going to let my life speak for myself. And I think the first thing is that it's not always easiest to tell you this, but I called you all villains last week, so maybe this will soften the blow. You're not that good. I'm not that good. You're not that good. No one is watching you at work and responding with, wow, you know what? I bet Jesus died for me. Jesus Christ lived the perfect life, and yet he still felt the need to say things. I think the other flaw in saying that, you know, I'm going to let my life speak for itself is that then that means that people are only going to see part of your life. They're not going to see your whole life. There are those of you who know Abby, but there are only a few of you who knew Abby's story before today. If Abby had just before today said, I'm going to let my life speak for itself, you wouldn't have known what God has done in Abby's life. Because no one gets to see your whole story. You can look at me and never know I once had a drug addiction that God rescued me from. You can look at my life and never know that God and I were wrestling through a cancer diagnosis. You can look at my pregnant wife and my daughter and never know that we struggled with infertility and what God did in our life in that story. You wouldn't know that by just looking at me. You only know that because of what God told me to do, of what God tells us to do, and that is to tell others what he's done. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans, a book that we looked at last week, and he's writing this letter to believers in Rome, and he says this in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 15. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? This is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. My feet are fat. They're ugly. But that's not what he's saying here. He's saying that God's plan isn't that he's just going to miraculously show up in your life and explain to your roommate why you've been living the life that you've been living. God's plan is that you would share your story with your roommate. I love this verse here because it says that you are sent. You are sent. That's what you have to understand, that you are sent to your neighborhood. You are sent to your school. You are sent to your building. You are sent to your family. Nobody knows the people that you are sent to because you have been the one that have been sent to them. And listen, it's your story may not have an addiction or something like you feel that it's not big enough to tell. It's not about that. God didn't say you will be my witnesses only if it's something that's a big thing. He said, no, you will be witnesses about what I have done in your life. It's not up to us to decide whether it's big enough or not. That's exactly what our memory verse was trying to tell you the entire time. We've been speaking it every single week. Acts 1, verse 8, right? It says, but you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. God's plan is that we, his people, are going to introduce him to others. We are just sharing what we've seen and what we've experienced. The entire story of Scripture is God working through his creation to bring people back into relationship with him. That's what Abby realized. God's plan is for the people around you to use your story and for you to be a witness. The people around you don't need a theologian, and God's plan isn't for you to become one. They need a witness. They need somebody who will share their story. Someone who will openly and honestly share their imperfect story of a hero who gave his life for the villain. Of a hero who brought us into his family. That's your story. And the people around you, the people that you've been sent to, need to hear it. And listen, the truth is you might not see the results or the visible outcomes. You may never even see how your story has impacted another person, but God will be faithful to use your obedience for his purpose and his glory. Don't keep these stories to yourself. Because when God gives you the opportunity to tell your story, tell it. Let others see the resolutions in your life, the way that God has kept you and redirected you and healed you and rescued you. There is someone right now who is going through something and they don't believe that they're going to make it. And it could be that the story of how God met you may be the very thing they need so that they might know how God can meet them as well. I think we all want to believe that our lives would make a positive impact in this world, that our lives would give hope and comfort and encouragement. And when we tell the stories of how God works in our lives, that becomes possible. He is pursuing you right now. He's writing your story. And if you're here today and you're watching online and you're listening, your story isn't over yet. And it's not a story until you tell it. Will you pray with me? Father, I want to thank you for this truth, this powerful truth, this humbling truth that you've been guiding us through for the last few weeks, that your story is a story worth telling. And yes, we can get scared and we can get nervous. What is somebody going to think of me? What is somebody going to say of me? But you have promised that if we step out in faith, you are going to take care of the rest. There are stories and stories of stories of lives that have been changed because you have used people who have just said yes. May we be a people that says yes to being used by you, God. And my prayer is also for those that are here today who haven't trusted you yet, who haven't walked into this relationship with you yet, that they will know that they can trust you with their story. That you are not a God who is hiding from them or angry at them, but that you are a God who hasn't moved and has continued to pursue them despite what's in their story. And you want to redeem their story too. You've got a glorious resolution for them too. May we see more and more people become reconciled to you because we have said yes to what you've called us to do. I can't wait to continue to hear these stories of how you've shown up in people's lives and continued to be the hero that's rescued them. It's all because of Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.